That is going to be awesome, isn't it?
Yes. So, okay, let me just tell you this. You guys who have signed up for Alpha, I'm super, super glad. I'm going to pass this around again real quick just in case somebody said, hey, I didn't get a chance to sign up, or I meant to sign up at the coffee bar, but I forgot, or whatever. I'm going to pass this around for you. But also, let me just mention this. If you have names on the cross, Alpha is perfect to bring them to. So you might be thinking, you know, what would be a good place, a good entry point for the people that I'm praying for, the people that, you know, I really want to see come into the kingdom? Alpha is the perfect opportunity. And so I would really encourage you to kind of like jump on that, okay? So if God has given us an opportunity, an on-ramp for our friends that we're praying for, Alpha is awesome, is an awesome place to do it, and free food, right? So everybody loves a meal, and well, free to you. It is a great on-ramp. So I would really super encourage you to invite your friends that you've been praying for to Alpha. It's amazing, amazing, amazing. So I'm going to pass this around. If you haven't had a chance to sign up and you want to sign up, you can, or if you don't want to sign up, just pass it on, okay? As I'll start over here with you guys. And if you've already signed up or you don't want to sign up, just pass it on. But we just need to know kind of about how much food to bring, how much food to provide. And so that's what the sign-up form is for. And also, there are these. There's a stack of these on the welcome table. And so if you're like, well, I would really like something that I can hand to my friend to invite them to Alpha, that's what those are for. And so you can grab a couple of these and share them with your friend. Who doesn't love Bear Grylls? Anybody who can squeeze water out of elephant poo is just an amazing human being, in my opinion, okay? And so he's hardcore. So that is going to be amazing. And then next week, what happens next week? Everything, right? Okay, yeah, new time next week. We start at 10 o'clock. It's going to be great. I'm so excited about that. We're going to start at 10 o'clock. So the other thing that's happening next week is that it's going to be a family service. So kids, everything, they're all welcome. And it's just going to get crazy up in here. And I'm so excited. We're going to have kids on the worship team even. And we're going to have a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful time. And we're going to follow up next week with a potluck. So we'll have our members. Oh, really quickly, if you are becoming a member next week and you haven't gotten a membership covenant, would you just raise your hand and Will will come along and give you a membership covenant? Okay, so Will's got a handful of membership covenants. You've been to Preview. You want to become a member next week. Boom, that's what that's all about. So if you've been to Preview, go ahead and Will will hand you a membership covenant. And so it's going to be a great week. So we got membership happening next week. We got a family service happening next week. We got new time happening next week. We got a potluck happening next week. It's going to be awesome. And then speaking of, you might have noticed on your seat one of these. We're not trying to get rid of the old ones. These are new ones. And so these say 10 o'clock on them. And so if you want to invite a friend next week to join us at 10, these are the new cards. They're on each seat, so you can have one, put it in your pocket, and then when you meet somebody that you want to invite to come, the time will be correct, 10 a.m. So that will be awesome. So lots happening. And then we'll talk about this, or yours might be yellow, but we'll talk about this in just a little bit. All right? Okay, real quickly, I am struggling to believe that it is January. I went for a walk yesterday. It was sunny and 50 and beautiful, and I just thanked the Lord through the whole 4 miles of it just because it was beautiful. But we're not guaranteed that it's not going to stay like this for the rest of the winter. And if you would like an alert, should we have to cancel due to weather, just text the word alerts to that number, and you will be texted if we cancel you, if we cancel service. I promise you that this is not a spam text thing. I promise you, you will not be getting texts from me every other day selling you timeshares or trying to get you to sign up for something. This is just used for important alerts, all right? So anybody else tired of the spam? Yes, I know. Okay, so don't forget about that. So this morning, in case we haven't met yet, my name is Lee. I'm the lead pastor here at Mercy Vineyard. And real quickly, Karen touched on it just before the offering. Let's go ahead to our vision. We won't have time for questions today. So this is the vision of the church. This is what we're all about. If you're saying, hey, what is this church all about? What are you founded on, right? Whatever. It's this. We're living a passionate mission to love, grow. Let's say it together. We're living a passionate mission to love, grow, and go for the greater glory of God. That's what our church is all about, okay? We're loving God. We're loving each other. We're growing in Jesus, and we're serving the Lord. We're going. We're bringing the kingdom of God to our community. And so I love it. And if it's your first time here, like Karen said, thanks so much for checking us out. I know that checking out a new church can be kind of weird, and especially when you go to maybe a young church like ours. We've only been around a couple years, and it's a little smaller. It's kind of harder to hide in a smaller church, but thank you for checking us out. Feel free to ask questions of one of the volunteers. If they can't answer it, you can go to findmercy.org and reach out to me or to Wendy. And we'll be happy to answer any of your questions. If it's your second time here, thanks for coming back. It's cool. Thanks for coming back. I think sometimes second time is even harder than the first time, you know. But thanks for coming back. So this morning what we're doing is we're continuing our series. It's called Greater Together, or as we've been kind of doing it online, hashtag Greater Together. Isn't that what the kids do now? Hashtag everything. Hashtag blessed. You know what I'm saying? And so we're hashtag Greater Together. And we're talking about how we as a church together, how together we fulfill the vision of bringing hope and healing to our city and our world. That is done together. That's done as a group effort. That's not something that the church can do. You know, it's so funny because don't we say the church should do that and the church should do that, but we completely forget that we are the church. You know, and so that together we're stronger, together we're greater. We're fulfilling the vision of bringing hope and healing to our city, to our world. And that our impact, the impact that we make as a church, is multiplied exponentially. It's so much greater when we do it together, when we all participate in God's kingdom. Remember we talked last week about the geese. You know, how geese together, they fly in that formation, and they're able to fly 70% farther when they fly together. And as a church, we go at least 70% farther when we all do it together, right? Church is a together activity. And that we when we commit to unity, it brings a blessing from God, okay? So the scripture says that it's a blessing, that God brings a blessing when his people are in unity. And so we want to be a people that are unified, people that are together. And today I want to talk about how we are greater together when we pray for our church. I know a lot of you, like some of you, are going to go, yeah. And some of you are going to go, oh, yeah, I've been meaning to pray for our church. Oh, yeah, you know. But you know what? We are greater together when we pray for our church. Prayer makes a difference. I think we'd all agree with that, you know. I remember back when I was a teenager, if you guys can think about that, if you can imagine me being a teenager, 15-year-old boy, I looked a lot like Hudson. Somewhere, if you take kind of somewhere between Hudson and Cole, I think I look somewhere in there. Forrest looks a lot like Wendy's dad. And but if you kind of imagine somewhere between Hudson and Cole, you kind of have me at 15 years old. And when I was about 15 years old, I was part of a youth ministry, and we had about 45 kids in our youth group. And I think that, you know, we could admit that 45 kids, that's a pretty healthy-sized youth group, you know, 45. And we had about 45 teenagers in our youth group. And a handful of us decided we're going to get together and we're going to pray every Wednesday night before a youth group. So we're just going to get together, we're going to pray for our youth group. And so we got permission to use a room to pray, which happened to be basically a storage closet at the top of a long flight of stairs that sat behind the main sanctuary. And it's where they stored all the choir robes. And that became our prayer room. And so a bunch of us got in there, and Wednesday nights at 6:15, youth group started at 7. So Wednesday nights from 6:15 to 6:45, a bunch of us got together, and we just decided we're going to pray. And we're going to pray for freedom. We're going to pray that we can reach more kids. We're going to pray for, you know, freedom from depression and freedom from addiction. And we prayed, and we got together, and we cried out to God for our friends, and we cried out to God for our church. And I remember at one point, I'm standing in the choir robe storage closet, and I'm praying, and I realize that we can't close the door. There's a lot more people up here praying than there was when we first started. And I thought, okay, well, that's cool. That's awesome. That means more kids want to pray. And so we prayed and prayed and prayed. And then I noticed one day, and I got there late for prayer, and not only was the room so full that you couldn't close the door, there were kids sitting on the stairs, going all the way down this long staircase, praying and crying out to God for our youth ministry. And I realized one day, and it just seems to like happen, like have you ever noticed that you don't notice yourself aging because you see yourself in the mirror every day? But then you see a picture of yourself from 10 years ago, and you go, oh, I'm old now, you know? And so it was such a gradual process, I didn't really notice it happening. But eventually what happened was, is we couldn't fit in that room anymore, and we all had to take over to go into the church sanctuary. And I'm standing in the back of the sanctuary one day, and I'm doing a head count, and I realize we didn't have 45 kids there anymore. We had 600. And you know, God does stuff when the church prays. You know what I'm saying? When the church decides we want to pray, we want to cry out to God, we want to reach our neighborhood, we want to reach our city, prayer moves the hand of God. It does stuff. And if we really want to see a difference, if we really want to see the kingdom of God come, if we really want to bring hope and healing to our city, we need to pray. We need to pray. Every great move of God was preceded by a move of prayer. People praying, people seeking God, people crying out to God for their friends, crying out to God for their neighborhood, crying out to God for their city. And prayer makes a difference. We are so much greater together when we pray. We are so much greater together when we pray. You know, if there's one thing that I want for you, it's to become a person of prayer. Not because there's some sort of spiritual, you know, homework assignment I want you to fulfill. Not because, you know, there's some sort of box you need to check off in your faith. But because when you become a person of prayer, you encounter God that you will never encounter any way else. You will encounter a depth. You will encounter a life. You will see God moving in your life in ways that you'll never see anywhere else. That's why I want to see us become people of prayer. You know, Jesus, the only time in the Bible where you see him really get upset, like we're talking create a whip, make a whip out of rope and just start, is because the people had turned God's house, which is a house of prayer, into something else. And today, maybe we don't have like scales set up in the back. You know, we don't have money changers. But you know, we come to church for other reasons. We have other idols that we set up in the church. We come to church for other reasons. But when we understand that God's house is a house of prayer and we become people of prayer, I'm telling you, things will happen that will blow your mind. Just blow your mind. And so I want to see for you to become people of prayer. All right? That's what I want for you, because you will encounter God in ways that you never have before. We're so much greater together when we pray. So how does that apply to us? Okay, how can we experience the kind of prayer power that changes hundreds and hundreds of lives? How do we see this activated in our midst? We're going to talk about that. I'm so excited. But hey, before we do that, what should we do? Thanks. Yeah, let's pray. Father, we just love you so much. And we ask, God, that a spirit of prayer would be over our church, that you would stir up the desire and the hunger for your presence, a desire and a hunger to pray. God, we want to be people of prayer because it brings glory to you. We want to be people of prayer because, God, it moves your hand and it just causes just all sorts of wonderful things to open up for us, God, in the kingdom. And so, Lord, help us to be those people in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay, so I want to start off. I want to read a story from 2 Chronicles chapter 14. And this chapter talks about it's a king. And it's a king of Judah, and his name is Asa, okay? And so in case you're wondering, you're not quite sure, what are you talking about, Judah and Israel? Well, at one point in Israel's history, Israel became fractured, and you had Judah and you had Israel. And so actually, God's people had like two kings. And so the Jews had two kings, they had like two separate kingdoms. And Judah was ruled at this point by a king named Asa. And if you're not kind of familiar with the whole Israel history, if you go back and read the Old Testament, you'll see that Israel and Judah both had just a series of just awful kings, just bad kings. You know, if you ever read through, sometimes it can be discouraging. I remember reading through the Old Testament and going, oh, come on, not another bad one. Not another rotten king. Come on, you know. And but along comes Asa, and it says this. In verse 7, we're reading 2 Chronicles chapter 14, verses 7 through 13. Okay, and Asa did what was pleasing in the Lord's eyes. So Asa comes along, And he takes all of the idols that are in Judah that people were worshiping, false idols, and he took them all out of Judah, okay? And he got the people to pray. He got the people to pray to God. So this story tells about how the Lord gave Asa this miraculous victory in the face of insurmountable odds when he prayed, okay? It says this, starting with verse 7. Asa told the people of Judah, "Let us build towns and fortify them with walls, towers, gates, and bars. The land is ours because we sought the Lord our God." Can we say that part together? The land is ours because we sought the Lord our God. That part is so important. If you take like one part of this scripture away today, I want you to take that part away, is that we expand God's kingdom, we grow, we reach the lost, we bring hope because we seek the Lord our God, okay? And so it says, "And he has given us peace on every side." So they went ahead with these projects and brought them to completion. King Asa had an army of 300,000 warriors from the tribe of Judah, armed with large shields and spears. He also had an army of 280,000 warriors. This is important. It'll be important later. You're like, why? What's with the numbers? Okay. 280,000 warriors from the tribe of Benjamin, armed with small shields and bows. Both armies were composed of well-trained fighting men. Once an Ethiopian named Zerah attacked Judah with an army of 1,000,000 men. 1,000,000 men. That's a pretty big army. I don't know about you guys, but if 1,000,000 men showed up around the outside of this church with spears and shields and chariots, I might freak out a little bit, okay? But it says 1,000,000 men and 300 chariots. They advanced to the town of Maresha. So Asa deployed his armies for battle in the valley north of Maresha. Then Asa cried out to the Lord his God, okay? Cried out to the Lord his God. He prayed, "O Lord, no one but you can help the powerless against the mighty. Help us, O Lord, our God, for we trust in you alone." Oh, that part's important. We trust in you alone. "It is in your name that we have come against this vast horde. O Lord, you are our God. Do not let mere men prevail against you." Verse 12 says, "So the Lord defeated the Ethiopians in the presence of Asa and the army of Judah. And the enemy fled. Asa and his army pursued them as far as Gerar, and so many Ethiopians fell that they were unable to rally. They were destroyed by the Lord and his army, and the army of Judah carried off a vast amount of plunder." All right? So if you remember one thing today, remember this: we are greater together when we pray. Some of you guys are like, "Man, I want to go to a better church." If you want a better church, pray for the one you got. Okay? If you want a better church, pray for the one you got. If you want a better pastor, pray for the one you got. What has two thumbs and needs prayer? Right? So when we pray, God makes a difference. We are greater together when we pray. So King Asa and his armies, they were outnumbered almost 2-1. It was a total against all odds scenario, wasn't it? It was against all odds. And our vision as a church is a lot like that. When you look at our vision as a church to win a city, to bring people from where they are to where God wants them to be, to love, grow, and go for the greater glory of God, that's against all odds. That's something that we can't do in our own power. We can't do camp in our own power. We can't, make a difference in our city in our own power, all right? And so the vision of our church is a lot like that. We want to bring newness to our city. We want to bring hope to the abused. We want to bring hope to the neglected, the addicted, the hopeless. We want to change the culture around us. That's like one of my favorite parts of the whole vision. We want to change the culture around us from one of hopelessness, from one of reckless consumerism, from one of depression, to one of hope and life and praise. That's what we want to do. Isn't that exciting? That's an exciting vision. You know what I'm saying? That is amazing. But we are outnumbered. We are out-resourced. We're this little toddler church in Old Town Moline. But when we cry out to God, he hears our prayers. When we cry out to God, he hears our prayers. He moves in the lives of young foster children. Now, I hope none of you think that camp doesn't get done without prayer. Like, I hope none of you here go, "Man, that camp thing is awesome. You know, they're just so lucky." Camp does not get done without tons and tons of prayer. We have people literally not only praying leading up to camp, we have people during camp that are praying every day for camp. okay? It happens because of prayer, all right? And he shapes the hearts of our children. That happens with prayer. He brings hope and he brings healing to those who need it. It happens because of prayer. You know, every week I come and I pray for your friends that are on the cross here, the people that you are praying for. I'm praying for them. And it's going to happen with prayer. And as we partner with God, we pray and you pray and we invite and all that stuff comes together and God moves and it's pretty amazing. Okay? And so when we pray, we're so much greater of a church. We are so much greater of a church when we pray. Our prayers invite the Lord to move in us. Our prayers invite the Lord to move through us, which is really, really super cool, okay? Prayer opens the door for supernatural provision. It opens the door for supernatural power. And as a church, we are completely lost without prayer. And I would go as far as to say, as a church, we are completely lost without your prayers. You know what I'm saying? Because when I say, as a church, we're lost without prayer, I know a lot of people are going, yeah, Lee, you better be praying. You know what? As a church, we're lost without your prayers too. So let me invite you today to get prayer on your radar. Just get prayer on your radar. I know it's easy to forget to pray, you know? So get prayer on your radar. We meet every Sunday before morning worship to pray. Can I just say, it's awesome. Come and join us for prayer. Come join us to pray, okay? We have 3 days of prayer and fasting. Twice a year, we fast as a church, we pray as a church. Can I say, get engaged with that, and you'll experience God in really cool ways. And not only will you experience God in really cool ways, it will benefit the church, okay? Make prayer as much a part of your daily life, and what the way that I see it even for myself is I want prayer to be as much a part of my daily life as brushing my teeth. How many here leave the house in the morning without brushing your teeth? You didn't have to raise your hand. You know what I'm saying, though? Like, most of us wouldn't think about leaving the house without brushing our teeth, right? Like it's just part of our daily routine. It's something that we do every day. This morning, I got up, and what's the first thing I did was brush my teeth, right? So we wouldn't think about that. And what I want for you is to see prayer as much a part of your life as brushing your teeth. As just like, this is something that I do every day, is connecting with God on a daily basis. Okay? You know what you can do is tell Siri to remind you to pray when you leave your house. You can do that. You can go, Siri, when I leave home, remind me to brush my teeth. And whenever you get like that, whatever, how many yards away from your house, Siri will give you a message to say, brush your teeth. Yeah, not brush your teeth, but pray. You probably already brushed your teeth. That one's for Kathy. Make sure she reminds you to brush. I know. Dogs and cats living together, mass hysteria, yeah. So it's like, you know, just set a reminder. Put something on the fridge. Put something on the bathroom mirror reminding you to pray. Become a person of prayer and watch how it affects your family. Watch how it affects your workplace. Watch how it affects your church, okay? And so I want to talk about just a couple things that I would love for all of us to be praying specifically for Mercy Vineyard. Now, I did leave prayer guides on your sheet. See, you probably have one of these. It might be yellow because that was our most recent, our fall ones, and this is sort of a general prayer guide. And you're like, well, how can I be praying for our church? How can I, you know, what are some areas specifically? And this is a great list. Not only is it things that you can pray for our church, but you can pray for yourself and you can pray for your community, and it's the perfect size to fit, I was going to say in your Bible, but like most people have it on their phone now. So you just stuff it in your phone case. But so it's a great thing. But I want to pray, you know, specifically for a few things today. But we need to be praying for our church for unity. Remember we talked last week how unity brings God's blessing. And I want to see us praying for the unity of our church, right? And so pray that we continue to unite under the vision that God has given us. And that we love each other with a Christ-centered love. That's so important as a church that we are able to look at each other and love each other with a Christ-centered love. All right? And so pray for unity. I'm going to move through these kind of quickly. Pray for our church that we're effective at making disciples. Right? We're going to help people grow from where they are, right, to a greater love and maturity in Christ. So pray that we're effective in making disciples. You know, right, in a couple weeks, we're starting Alpha. Pray for Alpha. You know, if you're like, how can I pray for the church? Pray for Alpha. That's huge, okay? Pray that we're effective at making disciples. When Jesus, one of the last words that Jesus said before he left was, go and make disciples, right? So we need to be effective at making disciples. That's important to us, and we need prayer to be effective. Because as culture changes, as people change, as the way people learn and connect change, we need prayer, we need God's help, right, to be able to go with that and to be able to connect with people as culture changes, as technology changes, as people learn differently, as people's attention spans change, right? You know, all these things. So we need help making disciples. We need prayer for that. Pray for your church leadership, right? Pray for Mercy Vineyard Church leadership. Can I just tell you, just in case any of you are ever wondering, just in case you're like sitting at home and you're just kind of, this is mulling through your mind and you're wondering, it is really hard to lead a church. Just in case you're wondering, just because you're like, huh, he must have the easiest job in the world. No, Jeff Probst has the easiest job in the world, and I wish I had it, Survivor host, okay? But that's something else altogether. But every time I watch Survivor, I think, I want that guy's job. But it's really difficult to lead a church. It's demanding. It requires loads and loads of wisdom and all these things. Pray for the leadership of your church. Pray for Wendy. Pray for Karen. Pray for Bethany. Pray for the people that are our team leaders. Pray for our volunteers. Pray for the people who lead in camp. All those things, okay? Pray for the leadership of your church. Remember what I said, if you want a better pastor, just pray for the one you got. All right? So we need your prayer. The other thing is pray for spiritual hunger. It's so important as a church that we don't become stagnant, that we lose, that we don't want to lose our spiritual hunger. That's just a horrible place to be. You know, and it's so easy if you've been in church for a year or 2 years, 3 years, or if you grew up in the church, it's so easy to become a spiritual anorexic. You know that anorexia, the dangerous thing of anorexia is that anorexics stop being hungry. Even though they're malnourished, even though they're dying, their bodies are dying, they're not hungry anymore. That's the danger of anorexia. And I think we get spiritual anorexia. You know, we're shriveling up and dying on the inside, but we're not hungry spiritually. And so I would never want me, and I would never want you, I would never want for us as a church to develop spiritual anorexia where we're just fizzling out, drying up spiritually, but we're not hungry for the Lord. And so be praying for spiritual hunger for our church. There's a whole lot of distractions out there. There's a whole lot of things that are jockeying for our attention. I mean, I think we've probably got more distractions in our world today than we ever, ever, ever have. And it's so easy just to kind of get squirrel, you know. Only we don't go squirrel. It's like Facebook, you know. Gee, what's the news? What's happening in the news today? What's happening in the world today that will draw my attention and draw my affection away from the Lord, okay? And so it's so important that we stay hungry spiritually, so we're hungry for the things of God, that we can grow in Him, that we can help others experience Him, and that our hunger for God would be expressed in prayer, that our hunger for God would be expressed in worship, that our hunger for God would be expressed in opening up God's Word and going, God, what do you want to say to me today? Okay? And that's how our hunger is expressed. And can I just say that when you remind yourself every day to stay hungry, you know one of the coolest things I've ever heard Arnold Schwarzenegger say? Okay? It's real cool. Anybody here, like back in the 70s, he made a movie and... Yes! Stay hungry. And I remember, because I only saw like bits and pieces of that movie. It was on TV some Sunday afternoon on some obscure UHF channel, and I was half awake and half not watching, and I see this scene, and there's this reporter that's standing there, and he's interviewing Arnold Schwarzenegger, and of course, this is back in like his glory days, his Mr. Universe days, you know, and he's just sitting there, he's doing this thing like this. He's trying to get the lawnmower started. No, I'm just kidding. He's doing like shoulder shrugs or whatever, and he's all pumped up. And the interview asks him, what's your secret to success? How is it that you keep growing, you keep winning, you keep moving? He goes, I just stay hungry. I just stay hungry. And if we could take that and apply it to our spiritual lives and just stay hungry, and when we wake up in the morning and it's easy for us to like not pray that day, when it's easy for us to like go, you know what, I don't have time to get into God's Word today. Or when it's super easy for us to go, you know, I'm tired, I don't want to go and pray with those weirdos over at Mercy. You know, when it's easy for us to not pray, that should be a sign that we need a checkup. We need a hunger checkup, that we may be suffering from spiritual anorexia and not know it. And so it's so important that when, and that could be, you know, a little gut check for you today. You know, is it easy for you to not pray? Is it easy? Is it really easy for you to not be in God's Word? Is it, you know, when you hear about an opportunity to pray, do you kind of feel weird about it? And you go, well, I'm not going to be a part of that. You know, and if that's you, then I just really, really, really want to pray for you today that God would stir a fresh hunger in you, okay? Stay hungry, stay hungry. Be praying for spiritual hunger, all right? And the other thing that our church needs is to pray for our relationships, right? Pray for our relationships, that our friendships at Mercy Vineyard would be healthy, would be Christ-centered, you know? We want good relationships. I want to be able to come to church and have somebody, you know, provoke me to grow, to provoke me to stretch and to get closer to the Lord and to live in a way that is self-sacrificial. I want that, okay? You know, I know we kind of live in a day and age where we even, if we even imply that you can do better, that we get offended. You ever notice that? Don't tell me what to do. Stop judging me. That's what we say. It's like if we tell somebody, hey, man, why don't you get in prayer some more? Immediately the response is almost, stop judging me. Don't judge me. I always have to judge me, okay? But I don't think that's healthy relationships, because in healthy relationships, we should be able to go, hey, you know, you're my brother in the Lord, and I want to see you encounter God in ways that are awesome and greater than what you've ever experienced. So we should be able to tell each other, hey, man, go for it. Stretch and grow. You're better than what you've been living, and I know that you can do a whole lot better. You know, that's called healthy relationships, okay? And we need to be able to talk to each other that way. And we need to pray that our marriages would be strong. We need to pray that our marriages would honor the Lord, right? We need to pray for that. We need to pray that our fathers raise our children in the way they should go, and that our mothers should be an example of what it looks like to be a woman after God's heart, right? So we should be praying for our relationships. These are things that we could be praying for our church. We need to pray that our youth grow in passion for God's presence and God's word. You guys want to know something funny? I'll just brag on these two guys. These two guys over here were our latest graduates from Kids Church last year. And I love that they're in the front row, hands lifted high, worshiping God, right? That's a testimony to our children's ministry. And we need to pray that as our children are back there and they're worshiping God and they're growing and learning, that they just are developing a passion for God. And so we need to be praying for our next generation, because guess what? The next generation is going to be leading us before we know it. All right? Guys my age, do you remember when we were the next generation? y'all remember when we were the teenagers? We were the next generation? Do you remember how it was like yesterday? Yeah, that was like, oh my word, you know? I was like the next generation just 2 days ago, it feels like. And it happens fast, and so we need to be praying for the next generation to be loving Jesus, to be growing in the Lord. That's something we should be praying for our church all the time. And then we need to pray for effective evangelism. We need to pray that we would be change agents in our workplaces, change agents in our schools, change agents in our neighborhoods, that it would always be on our radar to invite people into the kingdom, to invite people into those conversations that are deeper and meaningful and that will lead people to find Jesus. Okay? And so we need to pray for effective evangelism. So what I want to do today is, and hopefully, you know, you take this, pretty much all of that is in there, but I want to just close today by just spending a couple minutes in prayer for our church. And so this might be a little bit awkward for you or whatever, but we're just going to kind of turn this into a prayer meeting just for a little bit. And so Wendy, if you want to come and you want to help me out, but I just want to spend just a couple minutes in prayer for our church. And so I actually asked a couple of volunteers if they would come and pray with me. And so if you're one of those volunteers, if you would come. And so we're just gonna seek the Lord. So we're going to just practice what we talked about just now, okay? We're going to practice that. And so y'all can just go over on that side. That's fine. And so we're just going to practice what we talked about. We're just going to spend a few minutes in prayer. And so if you want to, you know, feel free to just posture yourself in any way. Feel free to close your eyes. Feel free to agree with me and agree with them. And we're just going to pray for our church. And so these guys have got prayer guides. And so I'm going to start us off. I'm going to pray for the church. And you guys can just pray with me and agree with me. And so let's just pray. Father, this morning, God, I pray that you would stir in us such a hunger for you. God, such a longing, such a desire for your presence, to see your hand move in our lives. God, that we would get to the point, Lord, where it's like if we only have enough time to either brush our teeth or pray, we choose prayer and we pop a mint. God, that we would make prayer such a priority in our lives, God, because we're hungry for you, we long for you. I pray, God, that our longing and our desire for you would supersede any other desire that we have. God, that no matter what it is that we want in life, we would want you more. God, make us a people of prayer.
Father, we just thank you for this body that you've given us here to come together at Mercy. We thank you for this opportunity to worship together. And Lord, I just ask that you would help us to love one another well.
Yes.
Lord, that you would help us to really see each other, really hear each other, to notice when the other is in pain, when the other has a need, when the other is struggling. I ask that you would help us to speak to one another kindly and with encouragement, Lord. I ask that you would help us to be in relationship in space outside of this hour that we spend together in this building. Lord, I just ask that you'd help us to run to help each the other, Lord, that we wouldn't think someone will do it. We would think, I better help right now. Father, I just ask that you'd help us to love each other so well that the world around would see and want some of this, Lord, that the love that we have for each other would pour out and touch a world that doesn't know you and isn't hungry for you because it doesn't even know that you are, Lord. Just stir up that fire in us to love each other well and to love the world around us well, Lord. Make us contagious. I just ask that you would make us contagious in our faith, contagious in our passion, contagious in our fire, Lord, for your purposes, for here on earth and beyond, Lord. We need you, and we can't do any of this without your filling of the Holy Spirit. So we just call out, Holy Spirit, come and fill us and help us to come with open hearts and open hands and not holding on to anything that would obstruct us from hearing you, from feeling you, from walking with you, from doing what you want us to do. We call on you, Lord, and we need you. I just pray this in Jesus' name.
Lord, I ask you for your help as our church this year is dedicating itself to making disciples. We need discipleship. We need the training so we know what to do. Help us to see others and know that they need our help. That without God and the Holy Spirit, we will not be able to help them.
Thank you, Jesus.
And when you leave the church, remember that when you go out them doors,
you
are going to the mission field.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
Lord, we just want to thank you, Lord, for our pastor and his wife and kids, Lord, and just bless them and be with them. Lord, in James chapter 1, it says, let there not be many teachers, for they will incur stricter judgment. Lord, and I just pray that, Lord, you would give him a humble heart. And Lord, all the pastors here, that, Lord, that you would keep them humble. Lord, and help them to remember that they're just flesh. And Lord, when things are not as you think that they might or should be, Lord, just be with them and guide them and let them be led by your Spirit, Lord. Maybe in the middle of a sermon or something, maybe you want to do something different. Lord, let them be able to hear it. Lord, let them be able to hear, Lord, your leadings and your guidings and your callings. Lord, just be with them and bless them in Jesus' name.
Dear Jesus, I just pray for our church, for right now, for our leaders in Children's Church, God, that you would continue to help us to plant seeds in the children's minds and hearts. God, that it would be an easy transition to go from being in kids' church to being out here with us, God, because we've given them the foundation to understand what it is to know you and to love you. God, I just ask for continued passion in the hearts of the leaders that have made it their mission to serve the children here at this church, and that we would continue to grow that I also ask just for us as well, as we're your children, God, that you would just continue to build on our foundation, God, that you would use every one of us to help each other, God, that even though Lee and Wendy are our pastors, God, that you would use us to bless them just as they bless us. God, that I also ask, Lord, that you would just strengthen our bonds here, our community here, so that we could continue and grow our ministry to the neighborhood around us and the community that we're in. God, there's so many hurt and needy people around us, God, that we see every day. God, they just need your love, and we can bring that to them. So I just ask, God, that as you strengthen us here together as a community, that you would allow us to reach out and to bring those in that need your love.
Thank you, Jesus. Amen. God, we love you so much. We thank you for all that you blessed us with. God, for the way that you blessed our church. That God, we thank you. We pray, God, that you would help us to be a house of prayer. Always. For your glory, for your honor, because you are good and you are awesome. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, guys. So next week, real quickly before we close out here, Wendy's going to sing one more song. I will be back there to pray with you. Bethany will be back there to pray with you. If you need prayer for anything at all, we'll be back there to pray with you. And we would love to do that, be honored to do that. Next week, don't forget, Membership Sunday, it's also potluck. So bring something to share. I know it'll be good because all of you guys are good. And I think I've eaten just about all of your food. So it's going to be good. It's going to be wonderful. So God bless you guys. Let's go ahead and just close in one more song.
All right.